Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, to continue to be part of your day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Lois Geller is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad she's our friend. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is one of the smartest people I know when it comes to reaching out and touching your customers and your prospects and keeping them close, loving them up. Loving them within an inch of their lives so they keep coming back to you. She's the author of a number of books, including Customers for Keeps, including Response, which is the complete guide to profitable direct marketing, and other books, many other books, on this on the topic of customer care. And she's the president of Mason Geller, soon to be Lois Geller Marketing, right, Lois?
Absolutely. Lois Geller Marketing Group. Nice to be here with you.
It's good to have you back, Lois, and going to have a name change soon.
Yes, we are. We're changing our name, and we're doing what we do for other people all the time, and it's harder to do it for yourself.
we're
doing a new brand. We're doing
the cobbler's children has no shoes, right?
it's been a challenge for the last 3 months, just thinking about and working out.
Can you talk to us about that? Do you mind giving us a little bit of a tour of what it took? Because there are people out there who, you know, they decide that they need to change their name, their business is, when they started their business, they made their name pretty, you know, kind of intuitive for what they do, but now their business is expanded and it doesn't really serve them, or as you've done, you know, you've kind of bought out a partner and other people may add a partner or whatever. How do you go through the process of the name change and the brand change?
Well, it's a much bigger issue than I thought when I was doing it for our clients. Doing it for ourselves has been an interesting, and it's been a daily kind of a process. We've been allocating time every day to work on it. We want to make sure that the brand that we have, whatever the name on the door is, really doesn't matter that much. What really matters is what are our strengths, and what can we go forward with that can really help our clients and be most effective at doing. So we have done an assessment of all of our skill sets, and we have talked about the kinds of people that we think we need to bring on to grow for the next 5 years. And then we have really tried to put down all the things that we think we're good at and all the mm-hmm. things that we're really bad at. So we have done a SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses, our opportunities, and uh-huh. our threats.
Right.
And so in doing the SWOT analysis, it has been interesting to think about the opportunities that we have that were right here in our backyard that we had never even thought
about. That's where, when you're going through this kind of changeover, this house cleaning, this remodeling of your business, that SWOT process is how you find out what a lot of the steps are that you might have missed otherwise. The fun steps, the nice surprises, and the steps that aren't so nice.
Yes, because along the way we thought about the fact that we travel an awful lot. All of us travel an awful lot, and we thought, gee, wouldn't it be great if we had a client right nearby that we could actually, you know, sit down in an afternoon or take to lunch or do all the customer care things that we talk about. And then we had one of our interns do an assessment of the area, and we found out there were so many companies that we didn't know were in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like step one.
And this was all part of the process of merely changing your name and rebranding your company, right?
Yes, and the funny part about rebranding the company is that clients come to us. We get several clients a week, new clients that come in the door and say, we want a new brand, or we're starting a company and we want a brand. And, you know, what we're looking for is a look, a logo, you know, a type font. We want something that will resonate in all the channels. and we sit down, and then they say, and how much does it cost? You know, that's usually how the process goes, and it's kind of a funny process because we've had companies come in with timeshares, and we'll say, well, we better go visit what your timeshares look like so that we... What do you have to do that for? You know, we're trying to do a brand, you know?
Right.
You know, branding is really inside out, and most people think it's
say
a
that,
logo.
Say that again.
Branding is really an inside-out process.
Tell us what you mean by that, because that's a really important point that you're making now.
You have to really think about what you can provide to your customer that's truly unique, so unique that competitors don't even matter. And whatever that true unique quality is, or what those skill sets that you bring to the table are, that's what really has to resonate in a brand. So all of the time that we have been spending branding ourselves, we have never put together a creative, though our creative people want to do that. All we've done is done a look at ourselves, and then after we figure out what our unique selling, then we're going to turn around and put it on logo and brand and all
so,
that.
So here's what's been interesting to hear you talk about to me, Lois, is that you said, okay, we're going to change our name, we're going to rebrand our company, after all these years, after what, 20-something years?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to rebrand your company, you're going to redo the name, and you're going to make a new presentation to the marketplace. And that was your goal, but by going through this process, you actually found out more about yourself than you thought you were going to, and you found out new things about the marketplace that you didn't know. And so you've got all these, and you probably identified some things that you need to fix, maybe some threats that you didn't know about. So this is like going up into the attic and finding a leak and a treasure, isn't it?
It really, really is. And the funny thing is that I went to the mall yesterday to get glasses, and had my prescription, and I had my assistant Amanda with me because she has to oversee the glass buying process. And we went to the mall, and we looked at the directory. And I said, let's look at the different places that sell glasses, you know. And there were about 9 of them in our Aventura Mall. And she said, well, the only one I heard of is Lens Crafters. Let's go to Lens Crafters.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Hold on to that thought, Lois. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Lois Geller after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Buddy Holly bringing us back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We have built them for you. No barriers to entry. Everything is free. If you show up, we'll let you come and hang out with us, use our stuff, unless you want to buy a book. And when we ask you to give us a little something on the barrel head for the book, because those cost us money too. And Lois Geller is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and outstanding representative of our Brain Trust. She is one of the smartest people I know when it comes to putting your best foot forward in the marketplace, whether it be in reaching out to them with direct marketing, with advertising, with public relations, with branding, rebranding, which is kind of what we're talking about. Lois, the last segment, you gave us a wonderful tour of how to rebrand your company. Another thing I know you had on your mind today was some ideas about how to connect with prospects. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have some thoughts on that?
Well, connecting with prospects is something that we are all really thinking about all the time now that the economy is having its challenges. And connecting with prospects is what we do in our direct marketing company, whether it's for our hotel chains that we work with or for an insurance company.
Is it important to differentiate between a prospect and a customer with your marketing approach?
Oh, yes.
tell us how you should treat them. Because, see, I think a lot of people lump them together and think that they're the same animal, but they're really different, aren't they?
No, they're completely different. Customers expect to be treated differently, and they expect to be recognized when they come back and buy again, and and they have to be treated in a very special way, and they should be treated a whole lot better than your prospects. But for the most part, companies seem to treat their prospects better than their own customers. And customers get alienated when that happens. It seems, you know, I've been with one credit card company for a long time, and recently I started getting other credit card offers from the same company, different colors and stuff. But I've been with this company for a long, long time, and I even do a lot of work for them. So when I started getting invited in to become a credit card customer of theirs, I was offended. Don't they recognize that I've been with them as a great customer for so many years? So they were treating me, they were sending me acquisition programs.
Right.
Instead of saying,
I've had them to do that. I've had companies to do that. And then I've had companies to send me stuff and say, "Dear Jim, thank you for the business."
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah, absolutely. here's something else. Oftentimes, if I call a business, like a restaurant, to make a reservation or somewhere like that, and I've done business with them, when the person answers the phone, I say, "Hi, this is," and I tell them my name, and I say, "I'm one of your customers." I always say that. "I'm one of your customers." And sometimes they say, "Oh, well, welcome back, Jim, or Mr. Blasingame." But more often than not, unfortunately, they act like, "Well, why do I care about that? So what?
And that is really a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
I know that Amazon always welcomes me back. They know I buy hundreds and hundreds of books every year. And when I go back, they always say, "You know, last time you bought this book and this book, and now we'd like to recommend.
I think Amazon goes to bed thinking about you, Lois. I hope Lois calls tomorrow. So how do we connect with our prospects differently?
Well, we have to connect with them on a knowledge level. Most companies just mail out things, or they do advertising for everybody. But we were becoming much more niche-oriented. And so we have to really reach out to people, especially what we do in direct mail, and we have to say, "We know that you are a frequent traveler, and so we would like you to consider visiting our new destination in Dubai." We try to work out some sort of a connection with them to begin with when we communicate with them. And we try to go in the magazines that they're going to be reading. You know, we try to get into the social media that they're going to be in, you know.
So arrange for your prospects to find you wherever they're going.
Exactly.
Wherever they find themselves.
I'm doing a new book. It's a brand for all channels. And in this book, I've been interviewing a lot of interesting VPs of marketing, you know. And last week, I interviewed a man from Comcast. And when I had set up the interview, I was in major hate with them. they have recently put my cable together on a fancy TV deal that I have in my living room, where the TV comes up from the furniture and goes down, and you know, all this stuff. So anyway, they couldn't do it, and they sent four Comcast men. I lost 4 days of work with them. They couldn't do it. I had to get somebody else in the Geek Squad to do it. Anyway, I was not happy, and then I had this interview set up with him, and he's the customer care head of Comcast. And so I started with the attitude when I spoke with him. And then he told me his interesting job. His job is to go to all the different social media places on the net, you know, and, or, you know, LinkedIn and all the places that people will go. And he actually Googles and finds out where Comcast is mentioned. And then he goes there. And if they're ranting and raving, he gets in touch with them and sees how he can make it better.
Wow, what a smart thing to do.
They do about 100 and some a day like that.
Wow.
He has 7 people that work for him, and they answer these kinds of complaints.
Very interesting. Well, I think that's something that you need to do to improve the PR of your company and to deal with the bad PR. There's no question about that. Get out in front of that. Lois, give us your website, please.
It's www.masongeller.com.
Masongeller.com. Lois Geller is our good friend. Lois, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.